Welcome back to Time Out Radio on KDRT 95.7 FM in Davis, California. This is your host, Rohan Bakshi. I've lived in Davis all my life, and lots of my childhood memories are around the campus of the University of California, Davis. From birthday parties at the Memorial Union bowling lanes, to picnics at the Arboretum, to concerts at the Mondavi Center, and the Whole Earth Festival on the Quad, the university campus is at the heart of our college town. So for this episode of Time Out Radio, I thought I'd explore how a thriving university came to exist in the little farm town that was Davisville, California. Back in 1868, the University of California first started as a land-grant university. A land-grant university got funding to teach agriculture and engineering through the Morrill Act signed by Abraham Lincoln in 1862. The University of California's first job was to start a college of agriculture and a farm. You may be surprised to know that this farm was not located in Davis, but in Berkeley. Ezra Carr, the agriculture professor who ran the program there, tried to teach not just practical training in farming, but also courses in the history, sociology, and politics of farming. His views on this integrated approach were not popular, and he was fired in 1874. His successor, Eugene Hilgard, figured out that Berkeley's soil and climate were not ideal for farming. So he moved from teaching students how to farm to doing research in the science of agriculture. Then Peter Shields, who was secretary of the California Agricultural Society, started advocating for a university farm, a place where students could do both hands-on learning and research in agriculture. Those of you who live in Davis might recognize this name because both the Shields Library and the Shields Oak Grove in the Arboretum are named after him. A 770-acre farm near a little town called Davisville was picked for the site of the university farm, which opened in 1909. Students from the College of Agriculture in Berkeley would come to Davis for a semester or so to get hands-on training on a farm, and then they went back to get their degree. Eventually, a 4-year undergraduate degree program started in Davis, and it graduated its first class in 1926. Davis was formally designated as a University of California campus in 1959. Fans of the egghead sculptures around Merak Hall may know that the building is named after Chancellor Emil Merak, who worked on much of its early growth and made the campus bicycle-friendly. The university grew rapidly over the next few years and added a graduate division in 1961, a College of Engineering in 1962, a School of Law in 1966, and a School of Medicine in 1968. The 770-acre University Farm School is now a 5,300-acre world-famous university, with about 40,000 students, 100 undergraduate majors, and 100 graduate programs. It's the largest campus in the University of California system, and even has a 100-acre arboretum, a public botanic garden with 4,000 varieties of trees and plants. UC Davis students go by the Aggies because of the university's origin of agriculture. The official UC Davis mascot is Gunrock the Mustang. His name comes from a U.S. Army horse named Gunrock, who was brought to UC Davis in 1921 as breeding stock for the U.S. Cavalry. The campus has a student-run freeform radio station, KDVS, that we covered on episode 64 of Time Out Radio. Make sure to check that episode out. It may surprise you to know that UC Davis's student-run bus service, Unitrans, has original red London double-deck buses that the campus bought directly from London starting in 1968. Growing up in Davis, I remember the thrill of riding on the top deck of one of those buses as a kid. In honor of those fun red buses, our place of the week is the City of London. Our guest on today's episode of Time Out Radio is UC Davis Chancellor Gary May, who tells us about his path to engineering and UC Davis, his humongous comic book collection, and his favorite Star Trek character. Up next is Annihilate by Metro Boomin and Sway Lee.
Just came to my senses, yo. I stay in another dimension. Fear is non-existent. Suit up and swing through the city. Hey, annihilate. I'm wide awake. Be very afraid. I'm in my own world. Give me space. I'm in my own universe. Give me space, babe. Yeah. Weezy Carter. I'm about to go Peter Parker. Spider-Man, if he ain't me, he just a creepy crawler. Touch spot the lighter. Pull up in a new Ferrari Spider. Spider web necklace with the diamonds. She turned a spider woman if a biter. I will not go back and forth with you. I see you got the black widow with you. You should have had a black hero with you. I get an arachnophobia. I've been lit since I flicked the lighter. Since I was an instant busy spider. They been trying to wash the spider out. I got spiders crawling out your mouth. Spider-Verse.
I just came to my senses. Yo, I stay in another dimension. Fear is non-existent. Suit up and swing through the city.
I'm chosen, I'm golden, golden. I'm stronger, on missions, ain't no folding. A soldier, soldier, my vision, persistent. I took the game, it's over. Sober. I made a name, it's global. It's global. My enemy, pass over. I took it way to the top. I had to learn to be smart. I had to move with my heart, keeping my eyes on the part. Cause it get evil and dark, evil and dark. When it comes to my opponents, I know how to beat them, I know to defeat them. Hurt. Living my life by the moment. Somebody calling, somebody gon' need
me. Just came to my senses, yo. I stay in another dimension. Fear is non-existent. Suit up and swing through the city.
Set it straight, the block is hot. Something's come over me, I hit a lot. And tell my enemies, I never stop. No, no, nothing can shake me now. Tell the block I made it now. Yeah, the whole town is talking now. I swear nothing can stop me now.
All this boosting up my senses. I won't start, but I finish. I shoot my shot, bet I won't miss it. Only way to go is go the distance. Nothing can shake me now. Nothing can break me down. Tell the whole town we popping now. Nothing can shake me
Unbelievable.
This is the lobby.
Oh.
Welcome to Spider Society.
Welcome back to Time Out Radio on KDRT 95.7 FM in Davis, California. This is your host, Rohan Bakshi. Our guest on today's episode is Gary May, who is the Chancellor of the University of California, Davis. So Chancellor May, welcome to Time Out Radio. First off, you studied electrical engineering at Georgia Tech and then got your PhD in electrical engineering and computer science from UC Berkeley. What made you decide to be an engineer?
Well, I guess it goes back. First, Ron, thanks for having me. It goes back quite a ways. My initial interests in science and engineering, I think, stem from my love of Lego and erector sets and comic books and Star Trek and all those kind of things. But I think the thing that really catalyzed it for me was a program that I participated in high school which was called Develop Engineering Students. And the way the program worked, they picked 30 or so talented students from around the St. Louis area, my hometown, and they gave us an internship at McDonnell Douglas Corporation, which is the local company that makes aircraft. Now it's been bought by Boeing. Anyway, we spent the summers there, my colleagues and I, being advised and mentored by real engineers and learning what that profession was like and being encouraged to pursue engineering in college. And that's how it worked out for me.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, you're from St. Louis, and your mom was among the very first African-Americans to integrate the University of Missouri in the 1950s. And there's been a lot of progress in higher education since then. But even years later, there are still challenges with recruiting and retaining diverse students. Why do you think that is?
You know, it's true there has been progress, but it's been slow. And so I think a lot of the issues revolve around awareness of these careers and preparation. There have been attempts, many attempts, to develop enrichment programs and intervention programs to address that issue, but those have been kind of spotty and not consistent across the country the way they need to be, consistent in duration or consistent in funding. So I think we still need to pay a lot of particular attention to bringing parity to science, technology, engineering, and math careers for marginalized groups.
Yeah, and you've had a very successful academic career in engineering and are also involved with the National Society of Black Engineers. Your wife, Lachelle May, is also an accomplished software engineer. So thinking through your own academic experiences, tell us why increasing diversity in the STEM fields of science, technology, engineering, and math is important, and what are some ways to do that?
Well, I think diversity is important for almost any career or profession. And it's not just because it's the right thing to do, which I believe it is. I think it also gives us better outcomes. In engineering in particular, if you think about the first voice-activated devices, for example, they didn't respond to female voices because the design teams didn't have women on the teams. And even if you fast forward to today, some image recognition systems like they would use in driverless cars, for example, are less likely to be able to detect a person with darker skin as compared to a person with lighter skin. And so, and that's just a few examples. I have many others, but the point is that if you have diversity in engineering design, you get better product with better outcomes. And I think the way to do that is to, again, as I was mentioning before, have a set of programs available to expose youth of all backgrounds to what engineering careers can be like, and have mentoring available for those students. Mentoring has been critical for me. I believe in being a mentor as well as having a mentor. And I think those two things would help us to go a long way in increasing diversity in this field.
Yeah, and you've championed diversity and mentorship in higher education in the workplace throughout your career. You developed nationally recognized programs to attract, mentor, and retain underrepresented groups in STEM. So what are a couple of pieces of advice that you would give to teens who are interested in potential careers in science, technology, engineering, or math?
So a few things. I would first say, try to identify a person in one of those fields who can be a mentor for you, and then try to look for some of the enrichment programs I mentioned that are available in many venues across the country, like NASA has space camps, for example. I'm sure there's something near you that you could find, STEM, FIRST Robotics, various other competitive and non-competitive programs that depend on STEM knowledge and using STEM for particular outcomes. So try to find one of those programs, try to identify a mentor, and pursue what you are passionate about, which if you find something exciting, keep going and pursue it.
Yeah, it's hard for a young person to reach out to potential mentors because they may look larger than life or unapproachable to them. So what's your advice about how to connect with accomplished people who a high school student can learn from?
Well, some of the organizations that you mentioned my affiliation with the National Society of Black Engineers, they specifically have mentoring activities that allow the students to find these larger than life, as you say, engineer in their careers. And so there's not, it's not just a one way street where you, the student, the mentee has to find the mentor. The mentors are also reaching out and looking for students who are interested in the profession. So a quick Google search for some of these programs and some of these organizations would probably help the students connect with potential mentors.
So you've been at UC Davis since 2017 and lead the most comprehensive campus in the UC system with 4 colleges and 6 professional schools. UC Davis enrolls more than 40,000 students, and you've had a busy 6 years here. So what is your job as the chancellor of UC Davis involve?
Yeah, I get that question a lot. What does the chancellor do? I like to describe it as a combination of principal, like a high school principal, mayor, we're like a small city, and CEO, because it's a business. We have a almost a $7 billion budget at the university. So you're running a business in addition to being the mayor and the principal. And you do have aspects of all of those jobs in the chancellor's role.
Yeah, and I've been also following the UC Davis Aggies athletics all my life growing up in Davis, and I'm a big fan, and I see you at many of the Aggie basketball and football games. So what should we be watching out for in UC Davis athletics this fall?
Well, we're excited about athletics coming up this fall at UC Davis. I'm a huge fan of athletics. I think it's a good way to introduce the university to the community. It's sort of like a front porch, as I describe it, of the university. I think we look like we've had a really strong recruiting class in football, for example, and I'm excited for that season to get going in the fall. But I think we have pretty much good quality across the board in all of our 25 sports, men's and women's sports. And I think the most important thing about UC Davis athletics is we have true student athletes. There are more than 70 majors represented among our 700 and some student athletes, and they're all take their academics very seriously, as do their coaches. And we think student first, athlete second, and they represent us well.
Yeah, for sure. And I heard that you mentioned that if you could do something outside of your career, that you'd be a talk show host. And you actually have an interview show at UC Davis called Face to Face with Chancellor May. From one talk show host to another, what's something that you learned during your media experience as a host that you didn't know before?
Yeah, I enjoy having these kind of sit downs with people that have done interesting things and having conversations about what they've done and how they've contributed to our campus community. I think what I've learned is how diverse and talented the UC Davis community is. There are people from all aspects of our campus community, students, faculty, staff, alumni, who have really done some amazing things that have contributed to not just UC Davis, but to society more broadly. And I'm really proud of that. And looking forward to the day when you come and take my job, Rohan, as my future talk show host at UC Davis or elsewhere.
Yeah, we'll see. And I also read that your dad gave you a dollar for every A that you got on your report card as a kid, and you used this money to buy comic books. And since then, you've accumulated more than 13,000 comic books, a humongous collection that's still growing. Who's your favorite comic book action hero and why?
Yeah, great question. So my dad gave me a dollar for every A, and that motivated me to get more A's, because a dollar went much further in my days as a kid than it does now. So I could buy 6 comics with a dollar at the local drugstore. So that helped me grow my collection very fast. I have a lot of favorites. I enjoy the sort of the self-made type heroes like the Iron Mans and Batmans, but I also like the team books, because I like the camaraderie and the interaction and interplay between the characters in Avengers, X-Men, Justice League, etc. So, and my collection is now up to about 14,000 since I've moved to Davis, so still growing.
Yeah, and you're also a big Star Trek fan. Which Star Trek character do you relate most to and why?
You know, I think that one of the greatest fictional characters ever created was Spock in the original series, and that's my favorite character. The combination of sort of being out of your own environment, you know, with an alien with all these humans and having to deal with all that, and being, you know, like completely logical all the time, which I relate to that as well. I try to not get too emotional and not too high or too low, despite all the ups and downs of my job. And I just find that character to be really fascinating, as they would say.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Chancellor May, for your time joining me at Time Out Radio today. And go Aggs.
Go Aggs. Thanks, Ron. Have a good day.
All right. And that's Dr. Gary May, who is the Chancellor of the University of California, Davis.
I got kissed by the sun. I pulled the trigger of the gun. Barrel of flowers came at once. I took the shot and set them free. I heard them sing, love's all you need. To your dreamland, you and me, babe. I just wanna stay here all day. Show me I love you, I say. Take me to your dreamland. The tiger fell in love. He didn't know what was going on, but I took the shot and set him free. 'Cause I heard them sing, love's all you need. Take me to your dreamland, you and me, babe. I just wanna stay here all day. Show me I love you, I say. Take me to your dreamland.
And that was Purple Tiger by Milky Chance. In today's travel segment, we visit the City of London, capital of the United Kingdom and home to 9.5 million people. It's the largest metropolis in the UK and the country's economic, transportation, and cultural center. Its currency is the British pound. The city was founded by the Romans in the 1st century AD. And it was part of the Roman Empire for 400 years. William the Conqueror from Normandy in France took control of England in 1066. He built a fortress that was later called the Tower of London. London has survived many disasters. It had several epidemics of plague that killed thousands of people. Then, in 1666, the city had the Great Fire, which destroyed most of the city, following which London was rebuilt and grew rapidly over the next century. During World War II, the city was bombed by Germany in a series of attacks known as the Blitz. It was severely damaged and rebuilt again. London lies on the Thames River and has many historical buildings. Its kings and queens are crowned in Westminster Abbey, and many famous people, including Isaac Newton and Charles Darwin, are buried there. Buckingham Palace is the official residence of the royal family. The Parliament meets in the Palace of Westminster that has a clock tower with a famous bell called Big Ben. If the clock on top of the tower runs too fast or too slow, it's still adjusted by adding or taking away an old penny to its pendulum. The Tower of London is one of the city's oldest buildings and houses the crown jewels of England. Other places to visit are Hyde Park, Trafalgar Square, and Piccadilly Circus. The British Museum is the world's oldest public museum. The Globe Theatre holds performances of William Shakespeare's plays. Wimbledon, the oldest tennis tournament in the world, was started in 1877 and is held every summer at the All England Club in Wimbledon, London. You can get around to all these places in the city using the London Underground. It's the oldest underground train network in the world and was built in 1863. You may be surprised to know that about half of the London Underground isn't actually underground, but lies above the ground. Hungry after all that sightseeing? Take a break for some fish and chips or afternoon tea. Then rest for a bit in one of London's many parks to watch an informal game of cricket, a bat and ball game that's the country's national sport. So that wraps up our journey to our place of the week, the City of London. Alright, let's call a timeout for Time Out Radio. This was your host, Rohan Bakshi. You're listening to Cater 95.7 FM, where the grassroots grow. Have a great day, everyone.